Jimmy, you'll never guess what they've discovered on the site of my new theater. Oh, it's made my day.
Look, have a look at it. See, this is what they dug up.
Oh, yeah. What a filthy, dirty-looking object. Whatever is it?
Well, I'm not sure, but it's probably a priceless historical relic.
Let's have a closer look. Well, looks to me like a beer tankard.
Jimmy, to you, everything does. No, my theory is that it's a Viking shaving mug.
Oh, don't be absurd, Bentley. The Vikings all wore beards.
Ah, but the women didn't. Anyway, I've been in touch with the British Museum, and they're sending an expert along. I'm expecting the professor any moment.
Professor, eh? All right. I suppose it'll be Sir Mortimer Wheeler.
No, as a matter of fact, it's a woman. Professor Angela Birthday.
Oh, well, she'll probably look like Sir Mortimer Wheeler anyway. Do you seriously think that vile object which has just sullied my hands is worth anything?
Well, if it's ancient enough, a collector will pay a fortune for it, and if it's not worth anything at all, well, I can always present it to the nation.
Ah, there we are. That's probably your lady professor from the museum already.
Come in.
Hello, I'm Professor Angela Birthday.
Well, I've never seen a museum piece like this before.
Oh, yes, there's no doubt it's an old Roman statue.
No, that's Dick Bentley.
Sorry. How do you do, Mr. Bentley?
Hello, Professor. The object is just over there.
Oh, yes. Well, at first glance, it rather resembles an ancient drinking mug.
No, that's Jimmy Edwards.
Miss Buckdale, tell me, how does an attractive young girl like you come to be in the British Museum?
Well, I suppose it's just that I've always been fascinated by old relics.
Straighten your tie, Bentley. You're on to a good thing here, mate.
You see, archaeology is my great love.
Oh, well, as one digger to another. What do you make of this?
Look, Professor, is this thing animal, vegetable, or mineral?
Well, now, let's see. It's a slight dent in the side. It's circular in shape, yes, and there's obviously a lid which is missing. Yes, and a definitely an indication of metal construction, yes.
Yes. Well, what is it?
I've no idea.
Oh.
Well, it's quite baffling. I don't think I've ever... Oh, now, wait a minute. There's an inscription here. Now, what does it say?
Oh.
Canto.
Ah, I know what that is. That's Latin. It means I sing.
Oh, then it's probably an old Roman cake tin.
Not I sing. I sing.
Then maybe it's a music box.
Oh, I say, hold on. There's some more writing here, obscured by a lump of mud. I'll just scrape it off. And...
Oh, thank you.
Goodness me, fancy getting me down here on a wild goose chase. I've now uncovered the whole inscription.
Yes, well, what else does it say besides canto?
Give it to me, Miss Munger. Oh, Bentley, you and your Roman relic.
Well, what does it say, Jimmy?
Can tomatoes.
Sunday Type, as usual, first with the news. Take this week's front page story.
Big boom in city.
A gas mine exploded today in Throgmorton Street.
Full of interesting features, such as home hints by handyman. Do-it-yourself houses are the latest innovation. I met an enterprising couple recently who have put up their own house. 3 times so far. Notes for Women by Heather Scott Papworth.
Hello. Last week I ran up a lovely pair of chintz curtains. And so would you if you'd seen the size of that mug.
Cocktails by Swizzlestick.
This Christmas. Let me give you the details of my newest cocktail. 3 parts vodka, 2 parts gin, 2 parts whiskey, 1 part brandy, and just a tiny dash of rum. I call it power cut. 1 glass and you go out like a light.
And so to our main feature. This week we bring you the wicked, wicked life of a show business personality.
Never before has so much been revealed.
It's savage, it's tempestuous, it's shocking, it's...
The Wallace Eaton story. It's alive.
In the mad, gay world of show business, there is one man who stands out above the rest. A man whose charm and talent and personality has made him loved by everyone. His name is Jimmy Edwards. But alas, Tonight, we have to do the Wallace Eaton story.
Let us begin our story at the beginning. At the turn of the century, a baby was born to a Mrs. Edward Eaton.
Well, Doctor, is it a boy or a girl?
It's a boy, Mrs. Eaton. A fine, sturdy boy. Here he is.
He's the image of his father.
Don't worry about his looks. They always look a bit peculiar when they're first born. Your husband is on the stage, I believe.
Yes, that's right. Edward Everything's a Giggle Eaton. He's appearing this week at the Theatre Royal Ormsdike. Please, send him a telegram.
And so, a telegram was sent to Mr. Edward Eaton. He was on stage when it arrived, and the theatre manager went on and broke the news to him. On hearing it, he spoke the now immortal words.
I don't wish to know that. Kindly leave the stage.
The boy was christened Wallace, after a famous musical comedian of that time, Nellie Wallace.
When he was old enough, Wallace came on tour with me. Yes, he was brought up in a real theatrical atmosphere. And I shall never forget the moment when, at the age of 3, he spoke his very first words.
Get up! Bring back the girl!
I was proud that he should have managed such a difficult sentence, and angry because I was on the stage at the time. It was then, I think, I decided he should go away to school. And when he was old enough, he was sent to a special school for the sons and daughters of theatrical folk. According to his report, little Wallace Eaton was very advanced.
Miranda, how good of you to meet me at the tuck shop. Would you care for one of my licorice pipes?
No, thanks. I've got to go now for netball practice.
No, don't go. I've got some sherbet as well. Stay and share this sweet moment.
Now, I've really got to go, Wallace. The game's master will be ever so cross.
Oh, all right. Go to him. But, Miranda, remember one thing. I'm going to take you away from all this just as soon as I'm 10.
So the whole nauseating story unfolds itself. When he was 13, he astounded the theatrical profession with his performance in Oliver Twist. It's true, a lot of boy actors have made their mark in his play, but never as Fagin.
I was the agent who spotted him in that role and realized his possibilities. I signed him up, but soon found out that he'd become typed. No one could see him as a juvenile, but my persistence paid off. By the time he was 17, I had understudying A.E. Matthews. But it didn't last long, you know, long. I finally forced to send him out as comp here with a little show of mine, Girls, Bubbles and Girls. His speciality was historical tableau.
And now we come to the Grand Parade, as our girls will show our history was made. Sylvia's pose makes her look severe. Here she is as Guinevere. Some oranges and a cheeky grin now tells us all it's sweet Nell Gwyn.
Get up, I don't like him.
Our final pose is worth a fiver. Here's Gladys now as Lady Godiva.
Should have done the Jimmy Edwards story, you know. However, after Girls, Bubbles and Girls came a succession of such shows. No Nudes is Good Nudes. Thrip, Thrip, Hooray! And, of course, Son of Girls, Bubbles and Girls.
But Wallace was not really happy in this type of show. He was only able to scratch a bare living and he suffered from terrible shyness. Before we could get him onto the stage, he had to be blindfolded.
And then one day, the BBC took a hand in Wallace Eaton's career. He was sent for by Miss Arethusa Fitch of the Features Department.
Mr. Eaton, we feel that you're just the person to compare our new program, Woman's Hour. We'll be getting in touch with you.
Oh. And so, some 2 years later, Wallace Eaton made his very first broadcast.
And here, reviewing books again, your favorite novelist, Nancy Spain.
And this is where I, Dick Bensley, can take up the story.
Well, Dick and I took young, shy, inexperienced Wallace Eaton and gave him his big chance and take it from here.
Jimmy and I spent hours teaching him the art of radio, and I managed to pass on all those little wrinkles I'd picked up over the years.
You didn't pass them all on, I noticed. So there you have it. Wallace Eaton knows it all.
Just a minute, Jim and Mr. B. I've heard just about enough of this. So far, I have not objected to this travesty of the truth, what you so glibly call my life story. Now, look, suppose we tell the real story, sure. Ladies and gentlemen, 11 years ago, I was again sent for by Miss Arethusa Fitch, who had by then transferred to the variety department.
Ah, Mr. Eaton, how nice to see you again. Well, we've got a little surprise for you. You are to be the star of a new show called Take It From Here.
Oh, thank you, Miss Fixen, eh?
Yes. Well, I'm afraid, however, there is just one drawback. Or how should I say, two drawbacks.
Wow.
Well, we want to try out a couple of new comedians.
Send in Edwards and Bentley.
Oh, come in, come in, come in. All right, you can get up off your knees.
That's all right.
This is the famous Wallet Eaton.
How do you do, sir?
So glad to know you, sir.
What's that, Miss Fitch? Is it absolutely necessary these two old gentlemen be
pleased? Oh,
we need work, sir.
All right, very well, very well. I'll give you a trial.
Oh, thank you, sir. Oh, Mr. Eaton, you've got a speck of dust on your shoes.
What about that one?
Oh, allow me to rub them with my old raincoat.
Oh, he's a decent chap. Yes. Oh, don't forget, sir, if ever you want your garden weeded or anything, just say the word, sir. Yes.
And you see, that was their attitude right up until the eve of the very first broadcast.
Is there anything else we can get you, Mr. Eaton?
Perhaps you'd like me to spray your throat again?
No, thanks, no. I'm just going to have a nap for a while in my dressing room. See you both later. Right, Benji, quick, lock the door.
He'll sleep all right. Those pills I slipped into his champagne will do the trick.
This is terrible. 2 minutes to go and there's no sign of Mr. Eaton.
I have no fear, Miss Fitch. We will take his place. The show must go on.
Oh.
And that's how it was. By the time I got out of that dressing room, take it from here, become an established success in spite of Edwards and Bentley.
Wallace, how could you?
You cannot deny it, either of you.
All right, Wall, if you insist on telling all,
yeah,
then let us reveal to the listeners the time than when you were attacked during an actual broadcast of Take It From Here.
But I ain't never been attacked.
Well, there's always a first time for everything. Get him, Benji.
Oh, no, here, take him.
Good, I'll have another brown ale, please.
I'm sorry, Mr. Clump. No more drinks on the slate.
Oh. Yeah. Well, in that case, how about an advance on my Christmas club money?
I'm afraid you subbed it all, Mr. Clump.
No, not for 1961, I haven't.
Mr. Clump, isn't it about time you put your financial affairs in order?
Ted, do you think I haven't tried?
No.
Do you really think I like having to force hardships on my loved ones?
No.
Especially with the festive season they're coming up?
Yeah.
I tell you, Ted, in the last few days, I've had to enforce the strictest economy measures in our house.
How wrong. Isn't it cozy sitting here in front of a blazing fire?
Yeah, Beth.
There's a bit of a draft round the back of my neck. Can you feel it?
No, Beth. I've got me cap on back to front.
Seems to be coming from the kitchen, Ron. Could you go and shut the back door?
I can't, Ed.
Why not?
That's what's blazing on the fire.
What? You mean you've chopped up the back door to burn?
Yes, Ed. We can't get any coal.
Then why ever not?
They've put a padlock on the gate of the coal yard.
Some.
He can't, Effie. He says there's no money to spare for luxuries.
Oh, he's on your father's just a disgrace. When I hear things like that, I just sit here and smoulder.
Perhaps it's a spark from the fire.
No, it isn't, Ron.
No?
I'm just very cross, that's all.
Oh, well, it's not Dad's fault, Effie. He says we're, oh, what's the word that means penniless?
Penniless, Ron?
Yes, that's the word. Well, that's what Dad says we are. He says we've got to do without everything except the really important things in life.
Like brown ale, I suppose.
Yes, that's what Dad says.
Wrong. Your father is the meanest, shabbiest, most obnoxious person I've ever met.
Hello, you two. Sorry to intrude on this homely scene. But I just brought in some more wood for the fire.
What is it this time, Dad?
Well, you'll have to sleep on the sofa for a spell, or all of you.
F was just talking about you.
Oh, how nice. Well, I must say, it's very nice to know that you're remembered, especially this time of the year. If it's about my Christmas present, then, well, keep it as a surprise.
Mr. Glamour, let me tell
Dower, please, no, no, I'd rather not know. I don't mind what it is so long as I can drink it. But as far as your present is concerned, well, I'm afraid we're not giving this year. You do understand, don't you?
Only too well, Mr. Glum. And if you ask me, I think it's shameful that you should have allowed yourself to get into this financial pickle.
Allowed myself? Yes, I've done everything a man can possibly do. I've even went down to the labour exchange myself and fixed Mother up with a job. She's helping out with the Christmas mail. That's where she is at this minute, sorting them out at the post office.
And what exactly are you doing, Mr. Glum?
Keeping the home fires burning.
I don't think that's very funny.
Oh. Hello, somebody at the front door. I dare say it's the postman.
Perhaps it's Mum.
All right, I'll go. All right, come in.
Good King Wenceslas, look out on the field.
Oh, go on, save your breath. You've picked the wrong ass.
Are you, Mr. Glum?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I might have known. The other kids tell me about you.
Go on, up it, get out of it. Stop waving that cap under my nose. Go on, get... Here, wait a minute. That money in your cap. Is that all yours?
Yes, it is. I got it all this evening. Thank goodness and no, all like you.
All right, that's another your lip. Go on, get home, lad. You shouldn't be out anyway on a horrible foggy night like this. Honestly, the things some people do for money. All right, you two, get your coats on. We're going carol singing.
Your pardon, Mr. Glum.
It just occurred to me that here we are, dwelling on the material things of life and neglecting one of the more beautiful aspects of this season of goodwill. You follow my meaning?
Yes, Dad. But why are we going carol singing?
Ron.
Yes, Dad?
I went to that door just now and peering out of the gloom was a little angelic face. White and pinched. Quite touching it was.
You're a lovely dadder.
I must admit, I do have my moments of sediment.
Yes.
I go, Doc. I open the door, and there it is, that pinched face. All a-gleaming in the light there. Quite touching. And it made me realize that for all our worldliness, that little kid out there had something much more worthwhile.
What?
About 24 and 6. And if a kid of that age can cop that, then three grown-ups ought to be able to do better.
I see. Goodwill to all men, especially Mr. Glum.
Now, don't come here, I see. Now, look here, Ed. You want to see your Ron sleep in a bed again, don't you? You want him to be warm and well-fed and clothed, don't you?
Well, yes.
All right, then. Now, save your voice. You'll need it for singing. Come on, let's pierce the fog with a ray of good cheer for our fellow men.
Glum, it's a foul night.
Stop moaning it. I suggest we start here at one of these nice big houses. All moneyed people here, you know. Right, start bellowing.
Well, just a minute.
Oh, yes. Well, now, let's see. I'd forgotten about it. Well, how about a little brown jug?
Lum, that's not seasonal.
That applies to any season, eh?
It's got to be a Christmas carol.
I know. I saw Mummy kissing Santa Claus.
Oh, no. I think the best one's Good King Wenceslas.
All right.
Now, come on, all together.
Right, I'll knock. Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feet of Stephen
kissing Santa Claus. Mommy,
don't know it, just la-la-ing.
Don't bother la-la-ing. We've given him enough. There's someone coming.
Oh, it's the wait. Yeah. Oh, come in. Come in. You must be Parrish. Yes. Now, how about a nice drink, eh, to warm you all up?
Oh, very, very kind of you, sir. We've fallen on our feet here.
Yeah, well, what would you say to a glass of elderberry wine?
Personally, I'd say, yeah. You haven't got a nice quart of brown ale, have you, Andy, anyway?
I'm afraid not. You have this. The elderberry wine do you much more good.
Well, I suppose we shouldn't argue with our elders. Never mind, then. Compliments of the season.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, looking at you, Dad.
No, that made you feel warm inside.
Oh, yes, thank you, sir. I'm glowing.
Oh, so soon?
Dad, he's a bit slow-witted.
Yes. Oh, yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
And a Merry Christmas to you, too.
Get off him. What about some money?
Oh, certainly not. I wouldn't dream of taking money for a glass of wine. No, would I?
What a nice, kind man.
Mingy, well-spoken old devil.
Jim, I say, the fog's much thicker now. Yeah. I can hardly see. Where's Ron?
I'm here, Eph, holding your hand.
You're not holding my hand, Ron.
Oh, then it must be Dad.
You're not holding my hand either.
Then whose hand am I holding?
Where are you? Here, hang on. Oh, there you are. Ron, let go of that ornamental statue and come on. We've got a lot of houses to get round. Oh, lummy, I don't know. We've been down the whole road shutting ourselves off. What have we got to show for it?
Walkman, Dad.
Yeah. That's only because I nipped in that phone box and pressed button B on the off chance. This neighborhood locked the back of my hand. Anyway, we're not giving up now. Let's try this out.
Look, Mr. Plum, I hardly like to say this, but do you think that's you rightly putting them off?
What do you mean, Ed?
Well, you know, the way you stick your foot in the door and almost demand the money. Well, perhaps Ron should go to the door.
All right, if that's how you feel then, all right. I'll keep my ugly mug out of it. All right, we'll stay here on the pavement and sing, and Ron can go up to the door.
Oh, can't we go home, Dad? I'm cold and miserable. And the fog's getting up my nose.
And you're getting up my nose. Go on, get up to that front door and do your stuff.
Oh, all right, Dad.
The fog's uncanny, Mr. Plum. He steps up the path and he's vanished.
Never mind him, Miss. Come on, let's sing.
Good King Wenceslas looked
up. Oh, lummy, we sung it three times. Where's Ron got to?
Perhaps he's got lost.
What, from the front door to the gate? Even Ron's not that dim.
Hello, Dad. Yes?
So there you are at last. What took you so long?
I've been having a nice warm by the fire.
Well, all I know is it's been worth it. If they was kind enough to let you in for a warm, they must have given you a few, Bob. How much, Ron?
Nothing, Dad. There was no one in.
No one in? Now, on earth... Ron, don't tell me.
Yes, Dad, it's our house. Oh.